It's become a major community event. Once a year, Clarkston in Georgia shuts out traffic and holds a street festival which celebrates this town's diverse population. There were fabrics, foods and costumes from around the world. And the music, well, that was actually very American. It wasn't the best day for a festival this year, with an unseasonal cold wind blowing and rain pouring down. But everyone seemed determined to try and have fun and to tell me what it is they celebrate here.
Clarkston is very diverse. I'm learning the way of life here. You know, coming from Uganda, my culture is totally different, you know. But here, I want to say that I feel part of the community.
I've just ducked into a stall run by a group of refugees from Bhutan who've given me a cup of their hot tea. And I'm here with Birka Gurugay. Birkan, have you been made to feel as a refugee coming to this town?
I told Americans we spent our life in camp with no food. When I tell these stories to Americans, I found a lot of them who like to listen to the stories of refugees.
And that's important.
That's the whole thing, that we feel that we're getting respect.
Refugees have been telling their stories here in Clarkston since the 1980s. First, it was Vietnamese who came here, the so-called boat people. Bosnians arrived in the 1990s, and then later Eritreans, Burmese and other nationalities, all placed in housing that became vacant when their owners grew more affluent and moved out. The idea was that rather than dispersing refugees around the country, it made sense, at least initially, to put many of them in one place.
If they're all together, they can learn English together, they can receive services together. It's helpful for the people serving, the refugee serving agencies.
Cassie Lamery is a social scientist who wrote about Clarkston for her doctoral thesis at Georgia State University.
Many of the refugees experience post-traumatic stress disorder, that type of thing, so it's easier to resettle refugees in a place where they already have community members or people that understand, you know, their way of life and where they're coming from.
All right, so we just have to make an account.
A host of community organizations have been set up here to help refugees, like Cafe Clarkston, where new arrivals are put in touch with potential employers.
Whenever you have to apply for anything else, they'll have...
Cafe Clarkston is run by Brian Bollinger, who explained to me that finding a job for refugees is often the easy bit. The real challenge, he says, is teaching people the more nuanced understanding they'll need to fit in at work in a new country.
There are going to be certain immigrants who are going to arrive from countries where they've never had a boss who was a woman. Or they're going to come and they've never had someone who was their supervisor who was of a different race or skin color. If you're not equipped with at least a basic working knowledge, you're going to say something that is going to, at the very least, make you a pariah, if not get you into a fist fight.
Well, this is where the children of refugees, or children who are refugees, come. This is Clarkston High School, which must be one of the most diverse educational establishments in the world. There are 53 nationalities here, they tell me, speaking 65 different languages.
Tell me what the ideas were. Raise your hand so that I can call on somebody.
Teacher Amy Jarrett has been taking her pupils through the American Revolution. But she and her colleague Julie Goldberg told me they found the best way to help refugee children feel part of their new country is to talk about the history and culture of the countries they fled from.
Honestly, I don't know that I've ever really thought about my job as making people feel American so much as creating an atmosphere in which they share their cultural background and experiences with other people in the room.
I think it's about finding how you fit in into the broad fabric of America.
There are people in Clarkston who believe that some refugees will never fit in and that they've changed this typical southern US town beyond recognition. I went for a drive with local resident Phil Kent, who showed me a street where Somalis have been living.
We're now driving through this Brandon Hill condo complex. Unfortunately, controlled by a Somali gang. You can see that this was once a nice condominium complex. Now there's some burned out areas that we just saw. Look at the garbage that's piled up here. This is the really dark side of the refugee resettlement here in Georgia. Frankly, some of the refugees can be assimilated, all too many cannot. It's a balkanized area.
It was strange to hear a similar complaint of that Balkanized-style social fragmentation from a Somali woman. Othan Osman was speaking to me in a local Somali restaurant in Clarkston, her table covered with plates of spicy meat dishes, several kinds of rice and vegetable.
But despite the feast on offer, Hothan pointed out to me that only Somalis were eating there. And in general, she said, different refugee communities tend to stick to themselves.
I have visited a Nepalese restaurant and I find that people are staring at me because I'm not one of them. And even within the Muslim community, you have the Somalis who go to one particular mosque, and then the Arabs, they go to a separate mosque.
So this image of being this perfect American melting pot, you don't buy it?
No, I do not buy into that melting pot. It's not butterflies and rainbows and we're all holding hands. And I mean, it's an ideal, but reality is different.
Back at the street festival, Amar played me some music from his native Iraq and told me to be patient. The melting pot would come, he said. It's just that it's a work in progress.
There's a new generation right now. They are interacting between each other. We will witness Iraqi people who marry Ethiopian women and vice versa. Let's imagine how their kids will be. That will create a new culture. And that's something good for humanity.